So, ending up our series today on the Great Exchange. Last week we talked about John the Baptist and who he wasn't, who Jesus was, and who he was, who John the Baptist was. And today we're going to keep that going because we've been talking all month about the Great Exchange, how the cross made a difference in everything. I don't even know how you could say it didn't make a difference in everything. But because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we get to exchange death for life. We get to exchange grief for hope. Oh, I'm so thankful for that one. We get to exchange disease for healing. Yeah, like Dave talked about last week, NED, no evidence of disease. We get to exchange old identity for new identity. So my first point today is I am not. We're going to follow the same pattern we talked about with John the Baptist last week. I am not. Now, what I'm about to say is not on the notes because they're just personal to me. Just thought you might enjoy hearing a couple of things I am not. I am not an extrovert. I know it's shocking because I get up here and I speak and you make assumptions that I must be Miss Life of the Party, and I'm not. If you want to see me awkward and uncomfortable, put me in a room with 30 people I don't know and tell me to have small talk with them. Torture. That is torture. I would seriously rather get up and speak to 1,000 people than try to make small talk with 10. It is hard. It's hard for me. I know some of you don't get it, but I'm just telling you, I am not an artist. If you ever have a Pictionary game going, don't ask me to draw unless you want to laugh the rest of the night. I cannot even draw a good stick figure. Like, it is so sad. Every time I've ever tried to draw with Pictionary, everybody's like, huh? What is that? Not an artist. I am not a trivia queen. Nope. People think because I teach the Bible, I can pull up a chapter and a verse and I know all this trivia about the Bible or trivia about the world. That's even less, like movies and music. Forget it. I will take your team down. In trivia, I will mess you up. I'm also not an entrepreneur. I know it's so trendy right now to build your brand. And listen, I thank God for brand builders. I do. I am thankful for them. I am thankful for entrepreneurs. And it's also very hip right now for pastors to be entrepreneurs. And I say, hallelujah, go, 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 go. But I am not that person. Not wired that way. I love it when entrepreneurs come around me and say, hey, what if we do this? I'm all ears. I love artists. Oh my goodness, I love artists. Love trivia kings and queens. Love them. Love extroverts. I say, you go ahead. I'll just sit right here and watch. You just go ahead and do the thing that you do. Mingle. It's beautiful, but I'm not those things. The great thing about being at the age I'm at is being comfortable with what I'm not. Like, I'm good. I don't feel the need to prove myself to anybody and be Miss Entrepreneur or Miss Trivia Queen or Miss Extrovert. Nope, don't have a need to. I'm good on Pictionary, by the way, at guessing. Maybe because I'm so bad at drawing. I can guess a lot of pictures, so just saying. But back to the real stuff today. Point A, I am not a Messiah. Remember when John was asked, are you the Messiah? He said, nope, I am not the Messiah. Well, here's the newsflash for us. I am not the Messiah. You are not the Messiah. Now, this is especially difficult if you happen to grow up in the home of someone who had an addictive behavior. Because if someone has an addictive behavior, typically the children who grow up in that home, they want to be the Messiah. They want to be the hero. And so it's easy to want to be that hero. There's also one called a scapegoat, which is like the rebel. They go the opposite way. They're like, one of the children were like, I'll save you. I'll do this. I'll do this. The other kid goes, forget it. I'm just going to do all the bad stuff. There's also a lost child, a clown, and an enabler. But I'm not going to go into those today. Just suffice it to say that there's only one Messiah, and his name is Jesus. And I am not the Messiah. And when I find myself trying to become someone's Messiah, I have to tell myself, Sandy, stop it, because you're actually hindering the Messiah from getting to them because you are coming between and trying to be that Messiah. So I'm not the Messiah. Point B, I am not in the kingdom. I am not an earner. Now, in the physical realm, I'm an earner. Some mornings I get up at 4:30 and I'm like, girl, go after it. Get after it. Earn. Right? But in the kingdom, Heather knows because she's up there with me at 4:30. Yep. In the kingdom, you see, the problem is sometimes we try to take physical principles and we try to translate them to the kingdom. And so the way, what it looks like is we think we have to earn our place at God's table. We have to earn the right for him to hear our voice. We have to do something to get his attention. Look at me, God, look at me, look at me. I'm doing all the good stuff. I'm giving in the offering. God, I'm helping out those two missionaries she talked about. God, I am doing all the stuff. I'm taking notes. I'm doing all the stuff. And God says, no, that's not how it works in the kingdom. I am not an earner. I'm not. In the kingdom, if I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be up here and I probably wouldn't be alive. So I'm not an earner. Point C, I am not a politician. Oh, now wait. I'm a well-informed voter and I believe in being true to the principles that I understand that Christians, you know, believe from the Bible. I believe in that. But I'm not a politician, because a politician typically gathers people who agree with them and then discount everyone who disagrees. And I'm not a politician. I won't do that because I have a higher calling. I believe in being informed. And you know what? Dare I say it in a church? I'm also patriotic. I love my country. I didn't say it was perfect. Because it's not, it's kind of a mess right now. But there is something that I hold sacred and dear about America. And I don't apologize for that. But I'm not a politician. I will have some scriptures later to support some of this, so hang in there. This next one is going to be hard for some people. So try not to walk out, okay? Just say, relax. Just relax, Sandy's got this. The last one, I am not a sinner. What? What did she say? What, are you kidding me? Now, I didn't say I've never sinned, because I have. I didn't even say that I never sin now. I said I refuse to call myself a sinner. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but just think about this. When my kids were little, all three of my boys at different times would lie. I know, shocking. My children lied. I know. Never once did I look at them and say, you are a liar. That's all you are. You're a liar. No. They are a person who made a decision to lie. That's different than being labeled a liar. So I am not a sinner. We'll get into that more later. Let's talk first about what Jesus is. Jesus is the true Messiah. We're reading today mostly from the Passion Translation, maybe wholly from the Passion Translation. I can't remember right now. John 4:25-26, Jesus was talking to this woman at the well and she was asking him questions and he was talking. They were going back and forth. It's a good story. But she says at one point, this is all so confusing. Does anybody else ever feel that way about the Bible and about faith and about the kingdom? I do. I still do. I come to verses in my notebook where I do my devotions. You would see a lot of question marks if you looked at my notebook. I'm like, I don't understand this. What does this mean? Sometimes I go back and research and sometimes I just let it sit. Just let it sit in the mystery box for a little while. This is all so confusing, but I do know that the Anointed One is coming, the true Messiah. And when he comes, he will tell us everything we need to know. Jesus said to her, you don't have to wait any longer. The Anointed One is here speaking with you. I am the one you're looking for. I love that. It matches what John said last week. Look, there's the Messiah who takes away the sin of the world. He is the true Messiah. Listen, this is not a comprehensive list. I only have four things that Jesus is. Jesus is so much more than all of those things. But I just boil it down to four today for time's sake. Point B, Jesus is the gate and the good shepherd. Jesus is the gate and the good shepherd. In John 10, 7 through 11, Jesus is talking and he says, so Jesus went over it again. I speak to you eternal truth. I am the gate for the flock. All those who broke in before me are thieves who came to steal, but the sheep never listened to them. I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. I mean, imagine seeing a gate, and on the other side of that gate is life, freedom, and satisfaction. That's what Jesus is. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. I am the good shepherd who lays down my life as a sacrifice for the sheep. I love that Jesus makes clear, listen, I'm the way in and I'm the one who tends to. I'm the one who lets you in and I am the one who feeds you. I am the one who takes care of you. I am the one who protects you. Jesus is the true Messiah. He is also the gate and the good shepherd. He says also, I am the light. Point C, the light. Jesus is the light. In John 8, 12, Jesus said, I am the light to the world. And those who embrace me will experience life-giving light and they will never walk in darkness. What a promise that Jesus gives there. He says, look, you don't have to go stumbling around in the dark. No matter what happens in the government, no matter what happens in our world, no matter what happens with disease, no matter what happens in your own little world, in your own home, no matter what, you don't have to stumble around in the darkness because Jesus is the light. Jesus gives life-giving light. Oh, there are so many times in my life when I didn't know up from down. That's how it felt. Like, oh, when my little 7-year-old miracle son was told he had a brain tumor resting on top of his aqueduct in his brain, stopping the fluid from being processed by his body. He was very, very critical. He was so critical, they brought a craniotomy kit into his hospital room so that if there needed to be one immediately, they could do one immediately in the room without having to take him to surgery. Like, it was bad, you know? And I'm sitting there and it felt like darkness to me. I'm like, are you kidding me? This child we prayed for so long and now he's here and now this? And I said, bring in my worship music. I gotta stay in the presence of Jesus in the middle of this bad, bad place. I gotta stay in the presence of Jesus. And so I kept worship music going when we were awake and when we were asleep. And nurses and doctors would come in and they're like, there is so much peace in this room. I'm like, well, that is not me. That's because Jesus, the light, is here. Jesus, the light, is here. And when I don't understand the next step, Jesus, the light, is still here. He is the light. Point D, Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. In John 15, 1 through 4, Jesus says this about himself. And I tell you, if you want to do a study, if you're into studying, do a study. Just pull up the four Gospels and do a word search for the words, I am. And you will see how many times Jesus says, I am, and then all these different ways. It is fascinating. I had to boil it down to four, but he says it a lot. So in John 15, 1 through 4, I am a true sprouting vine. And the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I love that Jesus said, I'm a branch instead of a tree. You know why? Because a vine spreads out in all directions. Like it goes everywhere. I have a ivy vine that my son gave me, and it was very small when I got, and now it's spreading out. It's hanging over my TV stand. It's hanging over all these, it's just spreading out everywhere, right? That's what a vine does. Sometimes we try to tell the vine where to go. And Jesus says, no, I'm the vine. Let me go where I want to go. But I love he talks about the Father caring for the branches that are not fruitful, not by cutting them off, by lifting them up, propping them up. Have you ever felt like you needed propped up before? I have. God, can you just prop me up for a little while? I need some help. So what does he do for the fruitful branches? He prunes them to make them even more fruitful. Huh. That seems strange. The one that's doing well, you trim off. Okay. But the vine is the one that provides the nourishment. Okay. So we know what we're not. We know what Jesus is. What am I? What are you? I am a new person. Okay, kid, you want to pay attention now? Jesus, let it work. So when God, up here, Mason, you see where I'm? Yeah, look up here. When God created us, he created us to be without sin initially. That's how he created us. In heaven, when he put us together, he created us so that we wouldn't want to sin. But then we're born, and somewhere along the way, thanks, Adam and Eve. No, if it hadn't been them, it would have been me, so I can't blame them. But somewhere along the way with Adam and Eve, they introduced us to being born with sin. And what that means is we make bad choices. And everything changes. We make bad choices. And everything we touch seems to get tainted by our bad choices. That doesn't mean we don't always make bad. Sometimes we make good choices, but our bad choices have a way of getting in there and ruining everything, even our good choices. Maybe I lie once in a while, or maybe I roll my eyes at my mom or dad. Or maybe I slam my door in anger. Or maybe I'm very unkind to someone I live with. Jesus comes along and he says, I'm going to make you a new person. I'm going to make you a new person. Watch this. What? He makes us new. Don't drink this. Just saying. He makes us new from the inside out. That's why I can say I am not a sinner, because he made me new from the inside out. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:13 through 16. Thank you, Jesus, for making it work. Whew, I'm so relieved. You don't know how risky that feels. 1 Timothy 1:13 through 16 says this. Paul is talking and he says, "Mercy kissed me, even though I used to be a blasphemer, a persecutor of believers, and a scorner of what turned out to be true. I was ignorant and didn't know what I was doing. I was flooded with such incredible grace, like a river overflowing its banks, until I was full of faith and love for Jesus, the Anointed One. I can testify that the word is true and deserves to be received by all. For Jesus Christ came into the world to bring sinners back to life, even me, the worst sinner of all. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, brother." You know what? I don't think that's what Paul is saying here. I think he's saying, this is who I used to be, but now I'm a new person. I used to be full of gunk, and now I'm full of life and hope and faith. "Yet I was captured by grace so that Jesus Christ could display through me the outpouring of his Spirit as a pattern to be seen for all those who would believe in him for eternal life. I'm not a sinner. I'm a new person. I sin once in a while, but Jesus cleans it up like that. He cleans it up so fast. I am also, point B, a branch. I am not a vine, I am a branch. I am not a vine, I am a branch." In John 15, we're picking up back where Jesus was talking about being the vine. And it says, "I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source," that's a really popular word right now, "source brought this to me. Source brought that to me. I believe that too." You know who the source is? God. "Fruitfulness will stream from within you, but when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. When your life bears abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father." There's so much in there. It's about staying attached. It's about getting your nourishment from Jesus. Listen, if you nourish yourself all day with anger, don't be surprised when you're angry. If you nourish yourself all day with bad news, don't be surprised when you're hopeless. It's what you nourish yourself with. It's what grows. I could go online and find any article I want right now to support what I want to believe. Vaccine, yes. Vaccine, no. I could find more than one article to support what I want to believe. But instead of doing that, I just want to stay attached to Jesus, let him nourish me, and let him sort it out for me. Point C, I am a believer. Unapologetically, I am a believer. Jesus went through a time where he told a bunch of people who were following him for the food and for the healings, "Hey, if you really want to be my disciple, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." And they were like, "That's disgusting. Don't believe in cannibalism, so I'm out." I mean, I'm giving you the sandy, very condensed version. Of course, we know he was referring to the cross, but they didn't know that. Imagine how you would feel if you heard that. And so from that time on, John 6:66 through 69, from that time on, many of the disciples turned their backs on Jesus and refused to be associated with him. Yeah, I can see that. So Jesus said to his 12, "And you, do you also want to leave?" Peter spoke up and said, "But Lord, where would we go? No one but you gives us the revelation of eternal life. We're fully convinced that you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God, and we believe in you. There is something very powerful about getting to a place in your life where you know the only one you can really believe in is Jesus. I know whom I have believed in. Ah, there's something really powerful. Believing is not, oh yeah, I think there's a God up there somewhere. That's not what that word in Greek means. That word means throwing all your eggs in the basket. Living according to that truth. I'm a believer. Last, I am a witness. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I am a witness. The way I live, the way I speak, the choices I make, my Facebook post, they all witness to something. They all witness. Listen, even if you don't believe in Jesus, you're still a witness. Everybody's a witness. I just choose to stay connected to the vine so that I can witness Jesus. I'm not a Messiah. I'm not an earner. I'm not a politician. I'm not a sinner. Jesus is the true Messiah, the gate and the good shepherd, the light, the true vine. I am. Remember that John the Baptist said, I'm preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. Remember that? Well, if you know your Bible at all, you know that in the Bible it talks a lot about Jesus coming back again. What if we are alive on the earth right now to prepare the way for his return? That's not about fear to me. That's about an opportunity. What if it doesn't happen in our lifetimes, but you still make up your mind that your life is going to prepare the way for somebody to receive Jesus here on earth? You are a new person. If you've made the decision, you are a new person. What decision? I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to believe in him. I have decided to fully embrace what he said and what he lived and what he taught. I'm a new person. Remember the water. I am a branch. Where's your nourishment coming from? Some of us, sometimes we get concerned because we feel like we're not growing the way we're supposed to, but we never question where our nourishment is coming from. Listen, if you watch movies about bad relationships a lot, don't be surprised when it starts playing out in your life. Like, whatever you nourish comes out somewhere. Whatever you nourish, I am a believer. Who or what are you believing? It's a decision that we have to make. Who or what are you? I love it when Peter said, listen, there's nowhere else that has life. We figured it out. You are the one. You are the only one who gives us words of life. So we believe in you. And then you're a witness. I'm a witness. What is your message? That's the question. What is your message? If you've never made the decision to follow Christ, it's not hard. You just say in your heart or out loud, however you prefer, dear God, I need you. I make choices that I'm not happy with, that I know are wrong sometimes. And so I need you to make me a new person. I know that Jesus made it possible for me to be a new person. And so I count on that payment and I ask you to apply that payment to my heart right now and to my mind. It's that simple, really. And then if you really want extra juice in your power, tell someone you made that decision. There is something very powerful about telling someone I made a decision to follow Christ. It ramps it up. it ramps it up. So God, I pray right now for everyone in this room, whether they're making the decision for the first time or they're not ready to make the decision, that's okay. I pray for the ones who've made that decision already, but they recognize they need to get their nourishment from a different source, from the one true living source, from the one who is the gate, the one who is the good shepherd, the one who is the way, the truth, the life, the one who is the Messiah. So I pray that you would help us to recognize where we're getting our nourishment from so that we can put all our eggs in your basket and share by the way we live and the way we speak of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Went a little long today. I hope you had patience. Thank you for hanging in there with me. So next week, we're kicking off a new series. Dave's going to kick it off for us. Who said yes? Who said yes? So that's our new series. We're going to talk about some people who said yes and how it changed lives by their yes. Okay? It's going to be good. Because, you know, our whole theme for 2021 is yes. For the whole year. So every month has been kind of inside that. So we're going to talk about some people who said yes next week. So have a great week. Love you guys.